Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of The Yard. We got a big week in front of us. We do. Had a good weekend. Hope you guys did too. Got a big men's basketball win. They're all big on the road. We're going to break that down in our first segment of the show. A couple baseball scrimmages Sunday was rained out, but we will resume play today. 3 p.m. So I'm hustling to get the show done so we can get out of here and get on down the road and get back out of Dirty Noble Field. And so we'll kind of give you a few observations today. Wasn't too many of you out there. Been kind of cold for baseball, especially on Friday. Friday was miserable. I can't begin to imagine playing baseball in that weather. But all that I understood, pretty good weekend for Mississippi State. And now we need a big week ahead of us. I'd like to congratulate Darius Slay of the Philadelphia Eagles and Chris Jones, of course, Kansas City Chiefs, as they advance to the Super Bowl. Slay a chance to get his first ring. I believe it's 4 for Chris, if he can get this one. You start thinking about that, too, that whole Hall of Fame thing for us. You know, does Fletcher get in? I think Fletcher gets some votes. I don't know if he gets in. Maybe he should. I don't know that he will. I'm biased, of course. But I think Chris Jones is kind of making making his case to be in the Hall of Fame. And still, I'm very, 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 very impressed with what Chris is doing these days. But nevertheless, this is a big, big basketball week. On both the men's and the women's side, I would suspect that maybe this week, you know, if you may get a split, but man, if you could somehow win them both, could define the season. Truly could. And how big does that Vanderbilt win look on the road now? I mean, it's like these guys are getting some things going. You know, we're huge Vanderbilt fans as we kind of move ahead now. You know, because that's only going to help you in the net. The better they do, the better we do. You know, it's outstanding work, man. Vanderbilt looking to, I'm looking over here, they got votes in the coaches poll, but didn't quite make it. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's, at the time it just felt like an expectation. We should go to Vanderbilt and win, but they've proven in the weeks that have followed not to be an easy out. So, yeah, pull for Vanderbilt. We're Mississippi State guys and gals and Vanderbilt guys and gals. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I have for a long time. One of the main reasons that I love Bulldog Burger Company is I get exactly what I pay for and then some. There are so few places in life that you can go and experiences you can have where you feel like, you know what, I kind of got over a little bit. I got more than I paid for. You're going to get that at Bulldog Burger Company. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. 3 great locations to serve you, to aid you in your beauty care regimen. University Drive here in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. So if you're in town or on the way to town, stop and let them feed you. You put your feet under their table, they'll take care of everything else. Get a great restaurant quality hamburger. Perhaps those Sloppy Joe sliders, that's a great lunch item too. It is, truly is. If you're not maybe feeling like a burger today, maybe everybody else is, get that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. It's always drowned in ranch dressing, no matter how I get it. But be sure and get that chocolate shake to go, and you can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Kind of felt like that ball game against South Carolina, I felt like it was going to be something that we endure, you know, rather than enjoy. We enjoyed the end result, but man, I tell you what, we absolutely nearly blew it. But it doesn't matter. It's a win, right? And I see the, and I mean this with as much love and respect as I can possibly muster. The casual fan, like the person that doesn't follow anything, except like when it's game day for Mississippi State, is easily the most uneducated fan. I saw people on Facebook, and you can see whatever you want on Facebook if you look long enough. I can't believe that we're struggling with this team. Number one, it's very difficult to win on the road in a Southeastern Conference. Number two, it's very difficult to beat a team two times in quick succession because you understand exactly, you know, you've played one time, you learn from that, you find out how they're going to attack you. You make adjustments. But not to mention, South Carolina nearly pulled off the upset against number one Auburn and at the time, number five Florida. At home. So the astute Boneyard listener was prepared. It's like, hey, this thing could be a little bit dicey. And man, did it ever get dicey late. And it really felt like the first half, yeah, it was far from an offensive masterpiece by any stretch. And State led by eight, and it just kind of felt like, you know what, we're one good run away from just kind of putting this thing away. And I felt like that was the case. We had it on at baseball. Mike Nemeth and I were covering your scrimmage and watching basketball. And at times we watched more basketball than baseball because of kind of what was transpiring. But, man, it's like you go on a pretty good run here. And, man, you just kind of push this thing back out. I mean, it's so crazy. You know, 12-19 to go and State's up 13. And you're like, okay. I mean, we're basically halfway through the second half here. We'll cruise here. Michael Nwoko hits a jumper right at the 11-minute mark to maintain the 13-point advantage. And you just felt like, to me, maybe I'm mistaken, but I felt like when Riley Kugel made that three to make it a 14-point game right around 10 minutes, I said, this is the decisive run. This is it. You know, we had a halftime advantage. We've kind of figured some things out. We'll go ahead and just kind of put this thing away. And that is absolutely not what happened. And it's crazy, too, for a long time that not much was happening. Not much was happening at all. Guys, you get all the way down to 628 before they make a basket. And it's a 12-point game with 6 minutes to go. And you're thinking, okay, we're good. No, we weren't good. We had to get good. You know, of course, one of the things, the worst things you can do when a team is making a run is to put them on the free throw line, allow them to score without the clock running. All right, so you look up now, you know, 5 minute mark, and State's just up six. And it seemed like it took forever for us to kind of break the seal on the basket. Claude O'Harris hit the big three. And at the moment, you're like, okay, there it is. There it is. That'll stop it. That'll get us some juice. And what a big money shot from Claudel, who has proven to be a great addition to the Mississippi State team. And then next thing you know, Colin Murray Bowles, who has had a great career but has not really played well against Mississippi State until this past Saturday, he gets loose for a heave there, and it's now a four-point game with 3 minutes to go. And you just keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for State to kind of, okay, let's exert ourselves a little bit here. They cut it to two, and then right at the two-minute mark, Keyshawn Murphy probably took a shot a little bit earlier in the shot clock than Chris Jans intended. But kind of works the baseline there, gets it up and over and in. And I was like, oh, man, they're so big to be going in these final 2 minutes up two possessions. The game kind of stayed where it was until right at the one-minute mark. And then, you know, we foul. Cam Matthews fouls, you know, Murray Bowles, and he makes them both. It's a two-point game. They foul us. We end up turning the ball over. Right there at the midcourt line, it was, I mean, we're up two with the ball, and we can kind of run this thing down to next to nothing. You get a score there, it's over. But instead, we turn it over. Zachary Davis gets loose and lays it up to tie it, and then Colonial was rocking. We had a chance, and ball ends up in Hubbard's hand, but man, what a frenetic pace there was there at the end. Couldn't get a quality shot. And that's probably the guy you want with the ball in his hands, right? I think that's fair. And so we get into overtime, and it felt like it was going to take forever, you know, for people to kind of settle in here in the overtime period. You know, it's so incredible to think about. You know, you get those 5 extra minutes. And sometimes you stack up some points, and other times you don't. But pretty good opening sequence here as Cam Matthews with the block kind of gets the ball back. Caldwell Harris gets the layup there. You know, really just great effort, kind of working himself open there. Cam Matthews with the assist there. Puts us up two, and then it just kind of hung in here. It just kind of stayed there. It's like tick, 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 tick. And give South Carolina defense a lot of credit. Man, they really, 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 really worked hard to deny us open looks. And then we get a foul here on Keyshawn Murphy that puts them at the line here. And they make them both. And so, again, you think about that. 3 minutes into the overtime, there's been a made basket from Mississippi State and a couple free throws from South Carolina. And again, an offensive masterpiece, it wasn't. Next thing you know, they foul us. It was really a stupid, stupid foul, too. If I remember correctly, it was like 7 seconds to go on the shot clock, and maybe 11 seconds. But Josh had his back to the basket. It was a very unnecessary foul. And losing teams find a way to lose. This is one of those moments. It's like, hey, guess it's a tie ball game. We're playing great defense. We've got them. We've extended the defense. You know, they're having to take the ball much farther up above the key there to set the offense. And you go make a stupid foul. And not just make a stupid foul, but you fouled the worst guy you possibly could, Josh Hubbard, who was nearly automatic at the line. And, of course, Josh makes them both. So under a minute to play, State has a 2-point lead. We get a defensive stop, and they end up having a foul us, and then Harris makes them both, and it's just really inconsequential the rest of the way. And again, we kind of make a foul we shouldn't, but we get Murray Bowles to the line, and of course he misses the first one, and at that point it's inconsequential. Yeah, I mean, the notes don't matter. The bottom line is State wins the game 65-60. They foul Riley Kugel just let the clock run out, man. I mean, it's just – there's nothing you can do there. Nothing. But everybody's coached to play it up. But anyway, it's a win. And people say, well, you know, Steve, it was an ugly win. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. On the road in a Southeastern Conference in men's basketball. I don't know. That doesn't exist. There are no ugly wins on the road in this league. And so State wins. South Carolina loses. State advances the record to 16-4, 4-3 in the SEC. South Carolina drops to 10-10, 0-7 in the league. And you kind of begin to wonder, you know. You kind of start wondering a little bit, you know, what does the future look like in South Carolina? And it's not like the kids aren't bought in. It's not like the kids aren't playing hard. It's not like they don't have some talent. They don't have a lot of talent, but they've got some guys. But now you look up here and you think, okay, year one, they went 11-21. Last year, they got 26-8, 13-5 in the league, finish up tied for second, and they make the tournament. This year, not going to happen. So, no, I don't think you make a change, but you begin to kind of wonder. You know, Lamont Paris was a guy that was in the mix for our job. And I would venture to say right now, we got the better end of that deal. Maybe you feel differently, but that's how I feel. You know, in the 3 years that Chris Jans has been here, then we've accomplished a lot more. And I don't think necessarily that we had to, that we started that much farther ahead of them, if that makes sense. So we talk about a big week. You got Alabama coming in on Wednesday. That's an 8 p.m. tip. I know it's difficult for some of you, but we need the hump to bump. We need a full crowd. And then on Saturday, it's a noon tip. And, of course, in Missouri, you know, good team, played really well at home. But, man, if you can find a way to win these two, a lot changes. And you got to go to Georgia. You got Florida coming in here. You got to go to Oxford. You know, there's no easy outs the rest of the way. But, man, if you could just find a way to get these two, it makes life so much easier on you kind of moving forward. I think we all...
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
See it for what it is, not a hot take. This could be a huge week in Mississippi State men's basketball. And not just for the season, but I just kind of think the trajectory of the Chris Jans era. These are the games that we hired him in hopes of winning. And now you've got two incredibly important games on your home floor. You got to find a way to get them both. And that's the thing, too, is I think at Mississippi State, we got to stop thinking, well, we just got to get a split. Now, if we really want to be elite, we got to find a way to win these games. In Alabama, on our home court, with our great fans and our great student section. And listen, this Alabama team is good. Don't get me wrong. And, you know, sometimes the problem at Mississippi State has been perimeter defense. We hadn't always been able to close out on shooters. And, you know, as long as Nate Oates is at Alabama, that's going to be the basic tenet of the offense. They're going to take a low percentage shot, and they're going to make it a much higher percentage of the time than everybody else. Alabama currently 17-3 overall. I mean, just a game ahead of us in the win column. And 6-1 in SEC play. And then there's Missouri that's 16-4 overall and 5-2 in the conference. And now you have two teams directly ahead of you in the SEC standings. Missouri's a game ahead of you. Alabama's two games ahead of you. And you get to drag them into your own backyard. And so if we're going to take the next step, we need them both. And I hate to be greedy, but the reality of it is, worst case scenario, we got to get a split. If we lose both these games this week, we're going to be in trouble. Oh, but Steve, you don't understand. No, I understand. I understand that the schedule only gets more difficult down the stretch as everybody begins to kind of fight for their lives, no matter their record. But if we truly want to be one of the elite teams, you know, you're currently ranked 14th. You know, it's not like we're not getting respect. But this league is a bear. And it's tough to win on the road, so you got to protect your home court. And so I think a worst-case scenario for us is to get a split. Losing two, completely unacceptable. Got to find a way to get them both. And I firmly believe this. If you can get over the Alabama hump, if you can get them, and we'll preview that a little bit more as we get into midweek, I think it gives you a lot of juice. With Missouri coming in here, you know, we've had some good success against Missouri in the Christian's era. Alabama's kind of been like Kentucky as of late for us. Even though we've played them tough at times, it's been tough for us to get dubs against them. Not impossible. It hadn't been as bad as Kentucky. But, man, you begin to think about where – if this time next week, if we can have a successful week on the men's basketball side, you know, how would you feel about this team? All right, looking ahead to tonight, Mississippi State women in action against Missouri on the road. I don't really like these Monday games on the women's side. That's just me. Maybe you like them. I don't like it. I like to get all the basketball done over the weekend. But nevertheless, news from the availability report. Destiny McFall is out. Out. Not great. Not great. Yeah. We've been, you know, we've played some good games, but man, she's a real weapon. That's why you went out and got her. But, you know, Missouri has a handful out themselves. And so, yeah, we got to figure this thing out. You know, Deb's going to be tested for sure. Again, Destiny McFall out. And Shakira Edwards out. So, you know, we'll see. We got to find a way to make this thing happen tonight. Missouri has not been good. It kind of is what it is, you know. And, you know, I remember it wasn't too many years ago, you know, when Missouri came in here and beat us. And Sophie got us. But it's just so interesting to think about, you know, the trajectory of women's basketball and really how this conference has changed. You know, when State was running high, LSU really wasn't. They go out and hire Kim Mulkey and kind of reclaimed kind of where they were. Of course, big loss to South Carolina that led to the suspension of the DJ. I don't know all the details behind that, but I did read some things on social media that they play that song at the every game. And that the DJ was kind of gleeful about it or whatever, you know. But anyway, I mean, you want to be respectful of people, but why are we so dadgum sensitive? I don't know. I guess if I had lost an emotional game and somebody was playing a song that my dad wrote, I'd be mad about it too. But, yeah, Missouri, 0-6 in the league and 11-10 overall. Not good. Not good at all. And that's the thing, when you begin to look at, we talked about this earlier in the year. The teams behind us in the SEC standings are right there with us. You know, Texas A&M, Florida, Auburn, Georgia, Arkansas, Missouri. Man, their overall records are terrible. A&M's 10-9, Florida's 11-10, Auburn 11-10, Georgia 9-12, Arkansas 8-14, and Missouri 11-10. Not good at all. And so you got to take advantage of playing and beating those teams. I don't know what that means long term. If that gets us tournament ready, but I mean, these are SEC players too, but it's incredible to think about, you know, there's some big names on there, big names, that have had some really good years in recent years, and now all of a sudden it's kind of their turn at the bottom half of the league. So we got to take full advantage of that, and that's why winning tonight is so important. With or without McFall, we have got to make an opportunity for ourselves to go win this game. And I think we will anyway. But let's take a quick look in a few minutes we have left in this segment to talk about, you know, this Missouri Tiger team and kind of what they've done this year. And this is the We Back Pat matchup. Maybe you're familiar. All right, they're 9-4 at home, 1-5 away, and 1-1 on a neutral floor. And so 2-6 away from Mizzou Arena. They've lost six games in a row. And, of course, that's what happens when you get into SEC play. Now, everybody feels pretty good in non-conference play. You drop a couple games and it raises some eyebrows. The next thing you know, you get into league play and nobody feels sorry for you. They opened up with a loss at Vermont. Do you know much about Vermont women's basketball? I mean, they got trounced in that game. I mean, 62-46. An SEC team. And maybe I'm sleeping on Vermont. But your season opener, you go on the road. Number one, I don't know why you're going on the road week one anyway. But you go to Vermont and you get your luggage packed. I don't always say that in a PG-13 version. But you can't have that happen. And just so you guys know, too, looking over here at Vermont, because I'm sure many of you probably have really watched this closely, they're 11-10 overall. And some of that comes from a six-game winning streak now that they've got into – they were 5-10 before they got into conference play, before America East play. And so, no, it's not like Vermont all of a sudden is the sleeping giant. But they get beat. And then they struggle with Southern. Haven't returned a text. But they win, you know, at home. They lose at home to Norfolk State. Not great, Bob. They edge out Tulane 60-52. They win at Western Illinois. Congratulations, 75-55. They trounce the Billikens of St. Louis 112-59. They get Little Rock. So maybe they've righted the ship. You put together a four-game winning streak. And one of those games happened to be a road game. Proved to be your only true road win in Macomb, Illinois. The Emerald Coast Classic, that's your neutral side games. They get trounced by Syracuse, 82-59. They return the favor to Wichita State down in Destin, Florida. Love Destin. And then again, they put together a nice little winning streak. You beat Wichita State, you take down Jacksonville State, you get SMU, you get Northern Illinois, and you get Lipscomb, all those games at home. And then Oral Roberts comes in and wrecks the shop. And beats you by 13. You bounce back to beat Jackson State 90-51, and then you're in SEC play. And you have not won a single SEC game. 83-52 against South Carolina. Go to Alabama, lose 68-49. Go to Georgia, lose by 2. Lose to Florida. It's your place, 93-67. Lose at Oklahoma, a team that we played and beat. And then you lose at Auburn on Sunday, January 19th, then you've had a little bit of a break. So you got to wonder now, you've had this six-game losing streak, and now you've had a little bit of time off here. You're at home, but are you rusty? And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the break will be good for them. But we absolutely have to find a way to go up there and pick up this SEC road win. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're a team that's averaging about 70 points per game, allowing right at 64, and considering a quality competition, those numbers are unacceptable, as the record would reflect. Shooting about 45%, giving up about 41%. Shooting 38% from beyond the arc. Perimeter defense, been not too bad, 31% against. Pretty good free throw shooting team. Most women's basketball teams are. Rebounding, they're pulling down about 36 a game, allowing 34. So a net differential of just over 2. Handing out 281 assists, so 13.4 a game, allowing 12.6. And again, these numbers are just going to reflect the 500 team. Turned it over 326 times. Opponents have turned it over 351. When you consider the quality of some of that non-conference play, that factors in. So you're averaging just over plus 1 turnovers per game. They have gotten their hands on a few balls, forcing 9 steals and then allowing 7. Not a big interior team, just 57 blocks, which tells me that Okot needs to be a focus of this offensive game plan. Grace Swatter leads the team with 14 points per game. Ashton Judd, West Plains, Missouri, 11.5 points a game. And then Lanaya Randall with 10.8. And then from there, it just kind of dips off. And we talked about, you know, just the 57 blocks. I'm going to give this thing a shot. They have a 6'2 forward named Angelique Nagalakalondi. Why not? What's life without a little whimsy? But she appears to be a pretty solid player for them. Gets in a little bit of foul trouble from time to time. But 20 blocks on the year. Has pulled down 93 rebounds. And it's interesting, too. You know, they have two rebounders that are over 100. And, you know, both of those, you know, forward-type players. And so that kind of suggests to me, too, well, I guess Ashton Judd's a guard. You know, they're a team that wants to shoot from the paint. But Grace Slaughter is the only starter that has started all 21 games. They've kind of moved some things around. Be interesting to see what they start against us. But when you get into you know, conference play, things always get a little more compressed, right? In six conference games, Ashton Judd still leads the charge at 13.2. I guess Grace Slaughter was in non-conference. But Grace right there at second. But from there, it's a pretty significant drop-off. Randall still at 9.2. But again, from there, there doesn't appear to be any appreciable depth when it comes to the offensive end for this Missouri team. So we've belabored the point long enough. Yes, we expect State to win the game, even without McFall. But we need to make sure we dominate the post, and I feel pretty confident that we will. And for those of you that may be looking to watch the game tonight, you can. As you guys are well aware, you know, nowadays just about everything. I remember a time when we were lucky to get a radio signal. But 7 p.m. tonight from the Mizzou Arena. And so if you're in the area, we'd love for you to go out and support the Bulldogs. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Turn this down a little bit. Blair is our friend in the mortgage industry. 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, look no further than Blair Chandler. Blair's number is 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Top 1% close ratio in the country. Back-to-back-to-back years. The reason it's closed with Blair. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have been able to close loans through Blair. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. Blair is a Bulldog through and through. A season ticket holder in multiple sports. Has a place here in town. He rides the wave of emotion just like you do. Probably rides it maybe not as smoothly as you do. I've attended games with Blair, and I can tell you if we ever get down in a ball game, he already starts thinking about what the opposition's going to say on Twitter. Yeah. And so I remember a baseball game a few years ago. He and his son Finn were watching the game. We got down a little bit early. I said, man, we're going to be fine. Just calm down. We're, oh, man, this is terrible. Just hang on. And, of course, we'd come back to win like by 10 in baseball. But nevertheless, you need a professional working for you. That's Blair Chandler. Visit him at closewithblair.com. And if you've forgotten the number, you can always hit me up on socials. I'm happy to provide it. Again, that's closewithblair.com. Okay, I don't know how we haven't done this band. And the more I think about it, I believe maybe it's because I didn't know there was enough albums with the lineup that I like to pull this off. One of my favorite albums of all time is Wicked Sensation from Lynch Mob. It is not even close. It is easily one of my top five albums of all time. It's one of those albums that I can listen to in its entirety. No skips, right? It's just great. And for those of you that don't know, I named my oldest living son after the singer of this band. And I'll get to that why a little bit later. But, you know, lately, I don't know if it's the update with Apple Music. Like, I like to just ask Siri to play a song. I'll get an earworm and I'll say, hey, play this. And then if you let it go, it'll play some similar tracks, right? It almost becomes like its own radio station. And so, you know, we had the End Machine. We talked about some George Lynch stuff. So nevertheless, Lynch Mob has a handful of albums with, he pronounces it Oni Logan. We pronounce it Oni Logan. But I thought, hey, now's the time to do this because I've really been into the album Rebel from Lynch Mob. Really enjoyed that here as of late. And so this is going to be Lynch Mob, which initially was the side project from Dokken. When Don Dokken and George Lynch kind of had their acrimony about money and control, basically the band just started something else with you know, Mick Brown and Anthony Esposito. And they went out and hired Oni Logan. Great story. Had a chance to visit with Eddie Trunk a few years ago now, out in Tulsa before Rocklahoma. Thanks, Mark. And he didn't know that I knew the story, but I let Eddie tell it anyway. Oni Logan was fronting a band put together by Mark Ferrari from Kiel. The name of that band is Cold Sweat. And I mentioned that to Eddie. He goes, Eddie's like, yeah, you know your stuff. Well, yes, Eddie, I do. And I did stump the trunk, too. He was going to give me a signed copy of his book, and I said, I don't want to just take it as a gift. I want to actually earn it. And so I did. Used to love that metal show with Eddie Trunk. But it's a great story. George Lynch went to go see this band. It was initially called Ferrari. And, of course, they changed the name to Cold Sweat later, of course. I'm sure the fine folks at Ferrari weren't happy about having their name associated with the heavy metal act. But nevertheless, George Lynch goes to Oni Logan and says, hey, look, you can be in a band called Ferrari or you can be in my band and drive a Ferrari. Great story. He made the jump and Wicked Sensation was born. So we'll have a few tracks from the Wicked Sensation album on here, but here we go, top 10 Lynch Mob songs, and I tried to get every album that Oni was associated with on our list. Number 10, we'll start with this one. It's much different than many of the other tracks on our list. This has kind of got a little bluesy feel to it. It's a little, you know, maturation of the band. It's the title track from the album Smoke and Mirrors. And I think you'll dig that one, Smoke and Mirrors. It actually charted on the rock charts, too. Number 9 is a bit of a deeper track. It's from the Brotherhood album, and I really dig this one. It is a ballad, but it's not necessarily a power ballad, right? Even though there's a little bit of, you know, girth to this. It's a track called Miles Away. No, it's not a cover of the Winger song, but it is a very interesting vocal, and I think it really exemplifies Oni Logan as a vocalist. I think you'll really dig that one. Number 8, after Wicked Sensation, Oni Logan left the band. They hired Robert Mason from Cry of Love, that eventually now is the voice of Warren. He also does work on the End Machine with George Lynch and the guys from Lynch Mob. Great track here, and this is one of those ones too. But after Oni left the band, I just wasn't enthused about the new direction. Even though I'm a George Lynch freak, I was like, you know what? I don't know if I can buy this album. I ultimately did. It's a self-titled album, Dream Until Tomorrow. It's a great, great song. It's a little bit of a power ballad. But the message behind it is really, really cool. All right, number 7, back to some Oni Logan stuff. They demoed some tracks, and so this is a demo version. This is not real polished. And it was a 3-track EP called... Syzygy, S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y, I believe that's correct. A track on there, another one that's a little bit softer, a little more melodic, a track called Waterfall. I think you'll dig that one. That's your number 7 track today. And number 6, we go back to the self-titled album, and our last Robert Mason track was the first single off the self-titled album. And one of the things that bothered me about this one is the horns. I don't think the horns really work. And I love horns in the Black Crow stuff and the Aerosmith stuff. I don't think it works as well with the cool distortion of George Lynch. But a track called Tangled in the Web. The vocal delivery is great. I could just live without those horns. Okay, number 5. After Oni Logan returned to the band, they did what was called the Sound Mountain Sessions. And again, this is an EP, just a handful of tracks. They're all good. But my favorite one was actually released as a single. It's a track called Slow Drag. I think you'll dig that one. Really, really strong vocal in this one. And a lot of George Lynch goodness mixed in there. Now, the final four, you should know three of the four. One of these tracks was kind of the impetus for us putting this list together today. So we're going to start with number four, which is a song that means a lot to me. It's track number 9 on the Wicked Sensation album. If you've read When the Bottom Falls, and you've always wondered why my son's name is Ani Logan, this song is why. And I was at one of the deepest, darkest points of my life and tried to kill myself. And I'm a suicide survivor, and I shared that openly because, man, my life was so incredibly terrible. And it was all my fault. I mean, there were some people out there that didn't treat me real well. But ultimately, those are relationships that I engaged in of my own volition and then ultimately paid the price and consequence for it. I had kind of a supernatural moment. I'm not going to get too deep into that because I don't want to freak you guys out. I've had a few of those in my lifetime. If you believe in the hereafter, I think you can appreciate that. But in one of the darkest moments of my life, this song came on. And it's No Bed of Roses from Lynch Mob. And it's basically kind of an admonishment. You know, I never said it'd be No Bed of Roses. And the truth of the matter is, if I almost changed the name of When the Bottom Falls. And ultimately, I'm glad we did what we did. But I almost named my memoir, No Bed of Roses, kind of a play on the whole Rose Bowl Robertson thing. I think that would have worked. So I just named it a chapter. I had so many people that said, oh, you know, it's great. Stick When the Bottom Falls. It works good. And No Bed of Roses kind of comes off a little bit like a vanity project. And so I just titled a chapter that. And I had a lot of people that really responded to that chapter in the book. Probably the chapter I hear the most about is The Best of Times and The Worst of Times, and then chapter 19, which may be the most important words I ever write. But No Bed of Roses is so interesting. That song was always with me in the early stages of my recovery. I had a chance to tell George Lynch this, and I've shared this with Ani Logan on social media, and Robbie Crane was the bass player. I had a chance to speak with him in Biloxi. And so I've shared what this song means to me and my family. And so when Dana and I began to plan a family, I said, if we have a little boy, I'd like to name him Ani Logan. And I told her the story, and she was on board immediately. And so that's how Ani came to be. Looking back, it had to be this. You know, and it's a reminder to me in many respects of how far I've come, you know, and it's so I share this not out of ego, but really out of hope. That I've had a lot of people that tell me I make recovery look easy, and I can assure you that's not really the case. Life is a lot less fragile these days because I have learned a new way to live. But it is easy to get caught up in the thorns of your own discontentment if you want to. You know, this life is difficult enough as it is without us, you know, searching out drama, right? I had somebody tell me this one time, and I think this is probably true, you know, that people that have a tendency to overthink also have a tendency to not experience the joy of their emotions, good, bad, or indifferent. Because when somebody does something for us, we're always looking for the angle. We think there's got to be, you know, a catch. It's difficult for people that are overthinkers to see life at face value. I have made a lot of progress with that. I'm not perfect with it, but that's one of those things early in recovery that really gave me a lot of trouble because I was a person that rarely ever did anything because I was being genuine or thoughtful. I typically had an agenda behind it. There was always some attempt at manipulation. And so what happens is when you live life that way, you see life that way, and you begin to think, well, why are they doing this? You can't just accept the gift, right? Because you feel like, well, now they're going to feel like I owe them, you know. But the reality of it is this song means a lot to me. Sometimes when I'm down a little bit, I'll jam it. I'll put it on. I'll listen to it and remind myself from whence I've come. Number three, I absolutely love this. And I missed this album back in 2015. You know, we were doing other things, you know, doing a lot of Shinedown stuff and Godsmack, Alter Bridge, all that kind of stuff. It's been 10 years ago now. And, you know, living in Starkville, just kind of enjoying life. And I missed this album. And there is a track on here that I absolutely love. I sent this to Ani the other day. I was like, dude, this is legit. Went on Ani Logan's social media and I said, dude, I just want to tell you, I've been jamming the Rebel album a little bit here as of late, and you killed the vocal on Sanctuary. And how about I just share with you what Ani Logan said. He does interact with his fans, which I think is super, super cool. Super, super cool when, you know, people are willing to kind of share kind of what's going on and interact with their fans. I think that's an important aspect of things. But let me see if I can't find it here. Let's see. Yes, I said, and of course I'm Scout Steve R, so he calls me Scout. He said, hey, thanks, Scout. We were focused and very passionate in the writing and recording. And it's true. And the song is called Sanctuary, and it is so great. Like, if you wanted a great rock song, of course, you like, it's a, even if this came out in 2015, like, I play it for the bride, and she's like, well, you know, it's kind of, it's 80s. No, it's not 80s. There's some elements, obviously, George Lynch was a guitar icon of the 80s, so there's going to be some element of that. But this list has a lot of diversity in a George Lynch catalog. But this song absolutely rips. And so if you're looking for, like, a song to add to your running playlist or perhaps your workout playlist or your good morning wake-up playlist, this is the jam. Sanctuary from Lynch Mob. From start to finish, it's a ride, man. And it's not yelling and screaming. Obviously, you know, Oni's a guy that can handle the melodic side of vocalism. But the reality of it is, this is a song, one of those hidden gems in the catalog that I don't think a lot of people know. So now we're down to the top two. And if you know Lynch Mob at all, you probably know which two they're going to be. You just wonder what order we're going to go in. And I elected to go with the bigger hit at number one. But I can tell you guys this. From the very first time that I sat down and turned this album on, those opening bars of the title track from Wicked Sensation began to play, I knew that I had found something that I was going to enjoy. And here I am, almost 25 years later, still listening to this album. There are some albums that just don't stand the test of time. To me, this one does. And it kind of takes me back, too, to an interesting time in music. You know, early 90s, hard rock, things were changing. You know, some bands were getting heavier. Other bands were getting more depressed. Guys that couldn't get dates, of course, you know, worked at Subway and or coffee shops and picked up a guitar and began to make music. And some of that resonated with some people. But your number two track is Wicked Sensation from the Wicked Sensation album. And it's just one of those songs from the very, very beginning. You know what's happening. Number one, though, and it's a song that Ani Logan wrote. We actually corresponded about this. Is when he was living out in Arizona. He and a female friend used to spend a lot of time just kind of hanging out by the Salt River. And there was a place they would just kind of go and relax and just kind of enjoy life and enjoy each other. And he wrote this track, great track, the first single off the Wicked Sensation album. It's River of Love. And great, great, great track. If you follow any of the you know, the 80s metal or hard rock accounts on social media, these reels will make the rounds every now and again. And that song is a regular. Yeah, it's probably the song that casual fans most identify with. It was their gateway song into Lynch Mob. And they say this is the final ride of Lynch Mob. You know, back during cancel culture time, people were like, hey, you got to get rid of this name. Well, George Lynch, it's named after George Lynch. And even George got a little sensitive about it and said, because, you know, I don't know if I feel about this. And so nevertheless, Ani's not with the band anymore. They released a new album last year. I don't like it nearly as much as certainly not the only stuff, but even the Robert Mason stuff I think is better. The guitar stuff is good, but it just feels like the band is just kind of lost its anchor a bit without Oney Logan doing the singing. And Oney, of course, was with the Dio Disciples for a while. There's just a lot of stuff that he's done. And I encourage you, if you haven't, check him out. He's a native of Argentina and lives in the United States and has for a long time. But this, again, one of my favorite bands, but certainly that Wicked Sensation album. If you're a person that likes 80s rock, and this is a little different, too. It's a little more serious, right? It's not Poison, okay? It's not Poison. It's not Faster Pussycat. It's not Britney Fox. These guys are very serious musicians. The subject matter of their songs, very, very serious as well. But like when I think about River of Love, I remember that there's a great line in there. It says, it's a cold, dark night, and I swear we were feeling right. And it's one of those things that just kind of takes me back. It reminds me of being a teenager again. And I enjoyed much of that, probably too much of that. But yeah, I had a little bit of Peter Pan disease. Maybe I still do. But nevertheless, I think this is a band that you're going to enjoy. If you loved Dokken or even liked them a lot, you're going to love this. I think Oney Logan is a better vocalist than Don Dokken. Anyway, but I think because of the palette that Oney Logan paints with vocally, it allowed George Lynch to really expand his repertoire a little bit. That's my feeling. So I hope you enjoyed the list. Again, one of my absolutely Wicked Sensation, a killer album, absolutely killer. And so be sure and check it out. I think you'll dig it. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that great handle. All right, next segment show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. Chances are you do too. If you don't, it's because you haven't frequented their establishment. Next time you're in town, we encourage you to go by and see their smiling faces at Campus Bookmart and peruse their fine selections of Mississippi State merch. Whether you're looking for apparel, gift ideas, perhaps a diploma frame for a future or current Mississippi State graduate, they can accommodate you with that. I'd like to win the lottery, so I can go in there and kind of clean them out and give all this stuff to you guys. So many great options to choose from. They know what true maroon looks like. You don't want your kids walking around in crimson Mississippi State shirts. Life's tough enough without us doing something stupid. They can help you make wise decisions at Campus Bookmart. Now, if you can't make it to town, we encourage you to support a Starkville business. Keep Starkville in good standing by supporting our local businesses. Hit them up at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Okay, we do have a baseball scrimmage. I'm going to be a little bit late. Mike will be there to cover that. But, yeah, I mean, people always want, well, Steve, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? I don't know what we have learned so far. I think it's kind of been confirmation of what we expected after the fall. Ace Reese off to a good start, playing good defense, and that's really the key with him, right? Got it, played outfield last year, expected him to be the everyday third baseman. You know, Gatlin Sanders has played there a little bit, as has Garrick Fry, but Ace Reese looks to be the guy there. I think, speaking defensively, I think we've played really well so far. Though we had a good fall, we had a couple, you know, bumps and bruises along the way, but I think we've looked good so far. Competition has been great, and that's why you go get in the portal, right? It's not just to go get guys to fill out your starting nine. It's to give you some depth and to promote competition. Competition makes us all better. And so Ace Reese, I think, has emerged there, not just with the bat, but I think he's been able to handle things defensively. Is he as good defensively as Logan Kohler? I don't know that I'm ready to go there just yet. Logan Kohler was a very, very, very steady defender. And it seemed like when he did have little errors, they all kind of came in bunches. You know, he had a tough game against Memphis. A couple mistakes here and there. But Ace Reese, a much better offensive player. He had an absolute bomb on Friday in the frigid weather that nearly left the ballpark. The kid's got all SEC written all on him. And I won't be surprised if he gets some All-American mentions, provided he can handle his end defensively. It's a special, special bat. Shortstop, I don't think there's any question. Dylan Cup is the guy at short. Sawyer Reeves, of course, played a lot of short during the fall as Dylan, you know, recovered from an off-season knee procedure. Does not seem to have had any ill effect there. I think that's pretty much where we are. Second base, still pretty much wide open. But if I had to call it today, I think Sawyer Reeves is going to be your day one second baseman. Ethan Pulliam's there too. Of course, Ethan was the guy that kind of bailed us out down the stretch when Amani had some issues throwing the baseball. I think Ethan's the guy too that can factor in the outfield a little bit. I think right now, if I had to call it, I think when Nolan Stevens pitches, I think there's a good chance you see Ethan Pulliam in right. Does that make sense? But there's a bit of a logjam there at second. Now, we talked a little bit about Lucas Buckner. I don't expect him to play a lot this year. But he, to me, he has been the biggest surprise of the freshmen. A little bit undersized. Of course, he's a coach's kid. And of course, we signed three kids out of Farragut High School out of Knoxville. To go get three kids right out from under Tony Botello is significant. But Buck is one of these guys, man. You look at this kid and you're like, well, you know, he doesn't have the pro profile of a guy like Dylan Cup. But, man, this kid is a dirtbag. I love this kid's game. He makes it all look very, very easy. And, again, a coach's kid's going to probably have repped this thing out 100,000 times. And so he never looks like the game speeds him up. And to play elite baseball at a program like Mississippi State, you have to play the game and not let the game play you. That's what I see with Lucas Buckner. Very, very polished for a younger guy. Very, very polished. And as I've mentioned, I've watched this kid take, you know, one hoppers 100 miles an hour and just eat them like they're nothing. He could factor in at short, could factor in at second. But I do think, you know, there's a good chance that he's going to be a starter in 2026. Love this kid's game. And I love the fact, too, that, like, he doesn't think that he's a power hitter. You know, he's a punch and Judy guy. So he goes up there and just kind of sprays the ball around. A very good place hitter, as we used to say back in the day. You know, old Dizzy Dean approach, hit them where they ain't, right? That's his deal. You know, he doesn't go out there and try to do too much. He understands that he's a singles guy, can run the bases pretty well, quick, really good change of direction. But I love our depth in the middle infield. And how many games last year did we essentially have three middle infielders? You know, Mershon was hurt early in the year. Dylan Cobb gets hurt, misses basically the rest of SEC play. Amani Larry, you know, just always kind of had a second baseman's arm and at times struggled a little bit with that. And then Ethan Pulliam was a guy as a true freshman that was kind of pushed out there to play before, you know, we expected him to. We just didn't have any depth in the middle infield. Now we do. And it's quality depth. It's not just a bunch of numbers. It's guys that can play. And so when you start talking about the turnaround of Mississippi State baseball, it all starts with recruiting. Now, on the right side over there, you know, Hunter Hines is your everyday first baseman. Reed Stallman's a guy that's played there a little bit. Noah Sullivan's played there a little bit. Garrig Fry's even played there a little bit. I don't think Garrig is going to be a real factor at first when it's all said and done. I think Garrig is a guy that could factor at second, could play some at third. But, yeah, he was a quality get out of portal. And it's interesting, you know, he has not found a positional home just yet. Behind the plate, Ross Highfield continues to impress. Jackson Owen, of course, doing some big things with the bat. I would say right now, and this may hurt some feelings, but on the show we're just going to kind of call it for what it is. Ross Highfield is the most athletic catcher that we have and one of the ones most athletic catchers we've had in a long time. And that includes Logan Tanner. Logan Tanner, obviously, big-time player. Mississippi State. I mean, just ridiculous behind the plate. I mean, how effortless it was for him to just kind of whip that ball around out there and get it out of second and throw people out. But when you think what Ross Highfield has, exponentially, I think he's a little bit better. And we even talked about he may run out there and play some center field. I don't know how I feel about that, though. I know he's a Not that I don't think he's capable of handling it. I just think he's so valuable to us. And Jackson Owen continues to be, you know, the inner squad bomber. You know, just Mike and I were sitting there on Saturday, and I kind of joked. I said, well, you know, he hadn't hit a home run yet today. Mike said, yeah, he's due. Next thing you know, big towering fly ball that just kind of leaks over the fence and left. And you got to begin to wonder about that aspect of it. How do we get his bat in the lineup? He's not quite as good defensively as Ross, and I think he's maybe right there with Joe. I think Jackson, even though he was like the National Junior College Defensive Player of the Year as a catcher, you know, it had controlling a running game hasn't been a strong suit for him yet. Good receiver, but he hadn't controlled the running game nearly as well as Ross. And you know, the best run defense is to just keep people at first, right? When they understand that the chances are you're going to throw them out, they're going to stay there. The best way to control the running game is to never let the running game get started. It's not just about throwing people out. It's about keeping people close. And all of a sudden, you have to cheat two steps back closer to the bag. All of a sudden, that ball in the gap sometimes may not get you to third base. It's the game inside the game. And I think Ross is the guy that gives you that defensive advantage. I think that's a very important aspect of this. Look in the outfield. You know, I think Nolan Stevens is kind of locked up right. Center field is still interesting. If I had to call it today, I think, number one, Michael O'Brien is the best defensive center fielder. I don't think anybody could really debate that. But you got to figure out, hey, how do we get our nine best bats in the order? And is Mike one of those nine? I don't know that I'm ready to say that. But defensively, he is elite. He had a really good summer. He had a really good fall at the plate. And so I think you're starting to see Michael O'Brien really mature as a college baseball player. But Bryce Chance is still in the mix out there. Reeves Reynolds, a guy that got hurt last year, missed the season. Reeves put on some good weight, too. That's one of the things I can – you know, Hunter Hines is a little bit beefier, right? A lot of people wanted the pudgy Hunter Hines back. Thought he got a little bit too thin last year. Well, Hunter's not pudgy, but he's a little more beefy than he was last year. Ethan Pulliam's put on some good weight. All that time, I guess, with football has helped him. And I think working through a nutritional plan, he looks like an SEC player, you know, physically. Reeves Reynolds is a guy, too, that really looks like he has matured physically. Out in left, you know, Bryce Chance is a guy, and it's so interesting. People keep wanting to find a way to keep Bryce out of lineup. One of the guys who was the most difficult strikeout victims in the country last year. One time led the nation in fewest number of strikeouts per at-bats. Then he had a stretch there where I think he struck out like twice in the game. We couldn't believe it. You know, he wasn't always the most prolific hitter, but Bryce always put the ball in play. And so I think Bryce is still the name to beat in left. And then Reed Stallman's a guy that can run around a little bit in left. You know, and so I think that's really what's left to be settled is the outfield spots, right? And if we're playing a game tomorrow, I think it's Bryce in left, Mikey in center, and then Nolan Stevens in right. And then we'll kind of see how things go. The pitching, you know, everybody talks about that. This team is going to be as good as the pitching staff. I don't know that that's a fair assessment. I do think we're going to be good. Now, I thought Jacob Pruitt had a difficult first inning the other day, really bounced back in the second inning. Pico, I thought, was really good in his outing last week. Carson Ligon, a little bit up and down in the first inning, but settled in the second. And the velo is great, too. I mean, we're throwing 96, 97 regularly. And Carson's got to turn down money to come back to work with Parker and feels like that he can play his way into a better opportunity next year. Doesn't have any leverage to work with, so he may sign a minimum deal, but he may also get into a situation where a team is ready to invest in him and his development. We feel like Carson Ligon, and Chris Amonis said last week, you know, we felt like last year Carson Ligon was like our best portal get from last year's portal class. And then he shows up, he's a little bit beat up. Well, he's finally getting healthy. And he's been good in the fall, and I think the first inning the other day, kind of working up and down, had a lot to do with the conditions. It's cold. When it's cold, the ball is cold. Sometimes the ball gets a little bit slick. But again, once he got warmed up and got going good, I thought he was good. And I think right now, I think Pico and Carson are probably going to be two of your weekend starters. And we'll see how things kind of develop as we go. You know, is Jacob Pruitt a starter or is he out of the bullpen? Is Stone Simmons a starter or is he out of the bullpen? Now, the hope today is we have the opportunity to see Mekhi Grant throw for the first time since he, you know, tore the UCL 2 years ago. You know, and that was in the fall. You know, so he's had a year ago. Yeah, whatever it was. It was last fall, a week, fall of 2023. So he missed all of 2024. But, yeah, you've seen the videos out there and seen him throwing again in the, you know, mid-90s. And that's a bit of an X factor for State. You know, where does he factor in? Does he become back of the bullpen guy? Is he a starter? What do you do with Charlie Foster? I think if you had to call it today, Charlie is probably your Tuesday guy. And I think what you'd love to see if you're Chris Simonis is like Foster to just kind of eat up that responsibility the first month of the season and get some dubs for you. And if you have some issues on the weekend, then you can push him in there. I worry a little bit about his durability over the long haul and how many times have we seen it with these freshman pitchers. You know, they begin to kind of break down a little bit later in the year because the season lasts so much longer, right? And for many of them, you know, it's like you get done playing high school ball. Well, now you're out playing summer ball. Next thing you know, you're throwing high leverage innings trying to win a job at an SEC program in the fall. And then you get into the season. And so basically, they don't get a break other than the holiday break. And you know how competitive these guys are. They're still working hard to try to find an advantage. And so Charlie's, you know, needs to gain a little bit of weight. And, you know, we saw it with Jackson Fristo a little bit that freshman year. He came out early on, was outstanding. But as the year went on, you know, all of a sudden his confidence level got shook up a little bit. I just think physically he wore down a little bit. But all that understood, I think there are enough arms here for us to piece this thing together. I don't know that you have, you know, that Cal Steven guy that's going to go get you 6-7 innings week in and week out. I don't think that's really the case. I think the strength of this team is going to prove to be the bullpen. Robert Fortenberry came out and did some good things the other day, and he's interesting. You know, he is a very competitive guy, throws a variety of changeups, and he can kind of keep people off balance. And again, Kevin Mantle's a guy, too, that you know, we haven't seen a lot of buzz about him, but he was a guy that was at the MLB Combine last year. We worried a little bit that he may get drafted late. Former Kansas State guy. So it's not like he's a guy that hadn't pitched on a Division I level. He's pitched in the Power Five. And again, X factors. You know, that's the thing you begin to think about is all this kind of comes together. Ryan McPherson, I thought, was really good the other day. And so that's just kind of how things are going to go. And then Dane Burns, you know. And I think you got to be patient with Dane. You know, maybe he's a guy this year that gives you a couple innings in the midweek. You kind of build his volume up a little bit, get his confidence back. You know, he's just kind of coming back from Tommy John, set out last year. But how many options did we have this time last year? You know what I mean? We had names on the roster, but how many guys did you trust? I think there's a handful of guys right now that you already have a level of trust with. And then there's a bunch of other guys, too, you got to figure out where they fit. And so I'm very optimistic about this team. Remember last fall I was telling you guys, you know, I'm optimistic or cautiously optimistic. And then I say, well, you know, now I'm just optimistic. Now I'm extremely optimistic about this team. They're fun to watch. You know, one of the things that, you know, last year we were so much better defensively, and that makes life so much easier on your pitchers, right? And I think at times, too, we were better behind the plate. You know, people forget, like Ross Highfield, people are like early on in his freshman year, they're like, oh, all these passed balls. And then you look at the second half of the year, barely had any, you know. And so now he's had the opportunity to kind of work and get better. Until you've had to block up an SEC breaking ball in the dirt, until you've had to do it, you don't know if you can do it. And I don't care what travel team you play on. I don't care how much training you get. I don't care how much work you put in. Until there's the runner at third with two outs in the ninth and you have to block up that breaking ball in the dirt, I don't know what kind of catcher we have. You know, Ross Highfield, towards the end of his freshman year, began to show that, hey, I can handle that. Now that I've seen it, I can handle it. You know, we talk about spin rates and things like that, and everybody talks about those analytics, and they're just kind of throwing around like punched line of a joke at a party. That spin rate impacts your catcher, too. And so you got to make sure you stick to the fundamentals. And Parker and Cheeseborough are working, doing a great job kind of getting all those guys on the same page. And so, again, I'm excited as we get ready to go, you know, just over 2 weeks away. We'll open up Valentine's Day against the Manhattan Jaspers. We've never played them in baseball before. They weren't great last year, you know. But, you know, we were a good team last year. I think we had the potential to be great this year. And it's interesting, you know, I wrote an article on Sunday, I guess it was, breaking down the non-conference opponents. That's a free piece. You can watch, go read it over at jeanspage.com for free. But a lot of people were talking about Troy. And I noticed too, I noticed that Troy was like ranked 25th in the D1 baseball rankings. I'm like, well, that's interesting. So I dug into them a little bit yesterday. Guys, they have to replace their top four hitters. They had four guys hit 300 or better last year. They're all gone. And so some of our fans are like, hey, well, I got a number next to their name. We're going to have to really wonder about that. Guys, if we can't hit midweek pitching from Troy, maybe I have misevaluated this team. Now, how many times last year did we go through midweek games and they became an adventure? And a lot of that was because of pitching. And some of that, too, was because of our approach at the plate. You know, sometimes you get down there and you basically look, you've got a JV guy from Jackson Prep throwing on Tuesday nights. The velo's not there. The bite's not there. And so you have a tendency to overswing. And so we got to approach these midweek games much different. And I think having a guy like a Charlie Foster or a Bradley Lofton, who I've heard some good things about as of late, having those guys just to kind of hammer that down would be huge. I mean, how many games last year do we have to spend premium bullpen arms to escape a midweek game only to have them throw two and three times in a week? I think the reason we lost the Florida series was because we had to throw Tyler Davis on Tuesday against Samford. That's a game that won extra innings, if you recall. You know, Tyler Davis ultimately ends up getting the win in that ball game, but it's so crazy to think about over the full composition of a season, week to week, how much those things matter. It's like, oh, you know, let's just go ahead and bring TD out here. And next thing you know, he's got to go out there and throw 40, 50 pitches. And then we ask him to go a couple times on the weekend, and he just didn't have it. You know, he didn't have it because we had to overextend him in a midweek game. And I think there are enough arms this year that can kind of prevent that from happening. You know, we need some of these young guys to step up and be sure enough guys. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. We need people to go out there and eat up innings in the midweek so we can save some wear and tear on our premium arms to throw on the weekend. Now, one thing I'm a little interested to see, you know, Dave Marchand last year was one of the top stolen base guys in the conference and the country. Do you have that guy right now that you trust? You know, Yelimanos used to say that, you know, Marchand worried him to death, you know, because he'd go out there sometimes and get a big lead trying to see a guy's move or whatever, nearly get picked off. Next thing you know, he stole the base. And sometimes he would just take off and steal third even without a signal. Just a read. I don't know if you have that guy. I don't know if you have that elite base runner that just kind of understands the nuance of that. I don't know if we have that. Are we going to be aggressive and run a little bit? Yeah, we are. But I don't know if you have that guy that just can kind of on his own take that base from first to second and give three and four a chance to hit with a guy in scoring position. I don't know if you have that yet. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, I think Ace Reese is athletic enough, and I think Ace is going to hit the top third of the order. But, you know, Sawyer Reeves can run it a little bit too. I just don't know if you're going to have that prolific guy. So that's one piece. I know we got some guys that can run a little bit, but I don't know if you got anybody quite as special on the base pass as Dave Marchand was last year. I think that was one of David's best qualities, is his threat to run, because he changes the mental focus of a pitcher. You know, when you've got a guy out there that loves to get out there and kind of be an irritant to the pitcher, give him something else to think about. He got to account something else. Then all of a sudden, that's a couple of heartbeats per minute that he's not focusing on the delivery to the plate. And so that's one of those things, you know, as a guy that's been around the game for a long time, that I think about. Do we have a difference maker that can get on base, not only just to steal a base, but to go out there and change the complexity of the at-bats for the guys behind him. I don't know if we have that yet. And that's something we probably need to talk to Lemonis about, you know. And we'll see how it goes. But that's one of the things. I've seen some guys athletic enough to go out there and steal some bases for us, but I don't know that I've seen that guy that kind of has that special quality. All right, a final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, without question. If you bring a large group to town, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you'll be able to see their Facebook page and check out all the pictures of all the amenities that are available to you and your guests. 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths. You know, plenty of room for everybody to spread out. And instead of going out and getting 5 and 6 hotel rooms, wouldn't it be great for everybody just to stay together, you know? You know, maybe you're going to get together and have a few cold ones. You don't have to worry about anybody driving back to the hotel or wasting money on an Uber and things like that. I mean, they get tired and go to bed. Yeah, I mean, how many times have you been at a party, right? And then you want to stay and the person you're with is ready to go. Well, you know, you're staying here. They can go on to bed. You can go sit around that great fire pit area and just have a good time. Full service kitchen, the wet bar, a great back porch area, and of course we mentioned the fire pit. We spent a lot of time there when we stayed there. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to come up. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO if you want. But if you want to save some money, and I always encourage that, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Robertson and the number 10, BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. You could pay more, but why? The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, let's talk a little bit about some football recruiting before we get out the door. I shared this earlier. I said last year I didn't think we had a great in-state class. And I don't know that people believe me. Again, you run the numbers, right? You don't have to take my word for it. Let's look at the numbers. And so last year, Mississippi State offered 19 Mississippi high school players that were currently seniors, right? High school seniors. Ole Miss only offered 22. Many of them were the same players, obviously. You know, there were a couple different, you know, variances there. But by and large, you kind of offer the same players. Now, what's interesting this year, just from the high school seniors to be, State's already offered 28. Ole Miss has already offered 29. So basically, in the first month of this process, both in-state SEC schools have already exceeded the in-state offers that they extended last year for a full year. If that's not a measure of the quality of this in-state class, I don't know what is. You know, Southern Miss obviously going to offer some of the same kids. And you see Charles Huff down there. I'm sure there's going to be some kids out there that got early offers from State and Ole Miss that maybe don't have good camp performances. And they'll push that. Oh, Southern Miss beat State and Ole Miss for these kids. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to be difficult to do. But I think schools like Southern Miss and Arkansas State and Memphis and UAB, I think they benefit from a year like this because there will be a lot of players that get interest and offers from State and Ole Miss early that kind of shines a light on them that will give them the opportunity to get on the radar with some other schools. And it's smart for schools like UAB and Memphis and Arkansas State and Southern Miss to just kind of play follow the leader a little bit, because when you get deeper into the season and State and Ole Miss begin to kind of fill up, prioritize other targets, you can say, hey, we've been with you all along too. We've always loved you. And those are the kind of kids you win with if you're at a G5 level. You know, when you're the only school that's offered a kid at a G5 level, chances are that kid's never going to play. They'll be in the portal. And so you go chase, and I hate to say it this way, but you almost go chase the leftovers a little bit, right? If a kid is good enough to get an early opportunity from State and Ole Miss, you need to offer two if you're a G5 program. Because there's only so many they can sign. You know, and the way that State and Ole Miss both have been so incredibly reliant on the portal the last 2 years, granted, State still signed a full class on the high school side and a full class, basically signed 2 classes this year. You run the risk of, hey, some guys later on, those opportunities may drop a little bit. But I wanted to kind of go through a few things here and just kind of give you a quick overview of some of the guys that I like. Yesterday, guys, I spent the entire day. It was rainy, so baseball got canceled. I spent the entire day working profiles, watching film, updating offer sheets and things like that. I did a ton of that. And even though I knew a lot of these guys in state, I wanted to familiarize myself a lot more. Reached out, talked to several of them. And, you know, we don't hold articles. You know, we interview and we go ahead and put them up. That's just what we do. And because things change so rapidly this time of year, you interview a guy today and he's got 8 offers. Tomorrow he may have 12. You know, and so you always got to make sure you stay on top of that. But, yeah, so I'm going to give you, you know, a quick overview of, you know, some of the better players. Obviously, Tristan Keys is a 5-star, and we have known about him for 2 years. Coach Vance down there, one of my great friends in the state of Mississippi in the high school coaching ranks, told me 2 years ago, this kid is special. Yeah, he is rated the number 4 player in the country, the number 1 receiver in the country, and the number 1 overall recruit in the state of Mississippi. He's got a crystal ball pick in Tennessee. I don't know what he's going to do, but I feel pretty confident that he is going to go out of state. And Tennessee, you know, of course, has a bit of a connection there in Hattiesburg. You know, they traditionally get on those guys. But I don't think, you know, I think you think about the Caleb Cunningham recruitment. This one may prove to be even more intense because, you know, Caleb said early on he didn't really want to go too far away from home. I think Tristan's willing to go anywhere. So this one could be a real circus. Braylon Womack, a safety out of Hartfield Academy, have loved him since the first time we watched film on him. Currently rated at 93. A guy that I'm expecting to go out of state. I know Ole Miss has kind of been in the picture a little bit. State's been on him too. But I'm told that his in-state favorite is Ole Miss. We'll see how things go. But I think there's a good chance of him going out of state. Xavier McDonald from Morton, currently rated as the number 3 player in the state. He's a guy that hadn't done a whole lot media-wise. I think state's in this one. I think Ole Miss is in this one a little bit. We'll see how things continue to go. Picayune, well-represented this year in the class, too. I've always said that Picayune and West Point, probably the two most physical teams in the state of Mississippi year in and year out. Nolan Wilson, defensive lineman there, big-time player. You know, and I think that's where the in-state class, I think at first blush, we thought maybe this D-line class might be a little bit light. And I think the more the evaluation we do, we're beginning to realize there are some big bodies on both the offensive line and the defensive line. I don't know where the backers are going to come from. There's a couple of guys out there that we really like. But, I don't think it's a linebacker full class. And I think there are some interesting DBs. But I think maybe the strength of the defensive class in Mississippi this year is going to be up front. And certainly, I love this offensive line class. Demarius Yates, number 5 player in the state, former Mississippi State commitment. I think there's some fence mending that needs to be done between Kemper County and Mississippi State. That's just my personal opinion. Jarrellin McCoy, defensive line prospect from Tupelo, is already committed to LSU. Love him. Had a chance to watch him against Whitehaven. I think he is a guy, too, that his recruitment will probably have a lot of twists and turns before it's all said and done. I had some people tell me in the infancy of his recruiting that Ole Miss expected to get him. And then what do you know, a few weeks later, he commits to LSU. I don't think Ole Miss is going to go away. But I also think Mississippi State has done a good job at Tupelo and continues to do a good job at Tupelo. And this Tupelo team that won a state championship last year is loaded for this year. I think it's pretty safe to say that they are the favorite. You may see a Brandon Tupelo rematch. As long as Sam Williams is coaching, whoever he coaches is going to be in the mix. But this Tupelo team is loaded, man. I think there's 8 or 9 kids that have SEC offers between 3 classes. It's nuts, man. What a great job they've done there. Tyron Wilson from Pascagoula, another guy that doesn't do a whole lot of media. Love him. I think that this is a guy here. Recently released kind of a top 6. State made the cut. Emmanuel Tucker from New Albany. This is a guy, too, big physical offensive line prospect, currently rated as a top offensive line prospect in the state of Mississippi. And to be honest with you, as much as I love Emmanuel, I think there's so many good offensive linemen that you're going to be – I don't think Mississippi State's going to have to go out of state to address most of their needs on the offensive line. Not saying Tucker's going to come to Mississippi State, but I think you go all in on him and then see. Preston Ashley, another guy too that have loved him since the beginning. Currently ranked number 9 player in the state, another 4-star. And so we only get 9 players at this point that are 4-stars or above. The 1 5-star in Tristan Keyes. I think that is a little bit light, and I think as we get deeper into the evaluation process, that you're going to see a lot more. I think it's a very, very good class. Donnell Robinson's a guy that we've known for a long time out of Holmes County. Saw him last year against Indianola Gentry. Stands out on the field. I mean, just one of those guys that you walk out there, he looks like what you want an SEC lineman to look at. Gavin Howard, also from Holmes County. Listed as an athlete, I like him as a DB. He can play a little bit at wide receiver, too. I think he's one of those guys, too, just wherever you need him to play. Amari Johnson, originally from Wesson, transferred to Jackson Academy. Listed as a wide receiver, I think he's probably a safety, but I think he's skilled enough he can play either one. Darian Albert, spoke to him out of JA. Spoke to him. Got 17 offers now, count Western Kentucky, unless he picked up some more today. None from State or Ole Miss yet. And he says he thinks it's because he's 6'2.5". And if you look at the size of the defensive lineman at Mississippi State targeted last year, it's like the Kevin Otis thing. If Kevin Otis goes to Arkansas, State would have taken him, but State wasn't pushing him because he's more of the same. You got to get bigger. I think Darian Albert's actually bigger than Kevin Otis was. So that'd be something to watch. Jace Matthews, love him out of Greene County. That's going to probably be a State Ole Miss battle. Same thing with Jaden Cration, wide receiver out of Canton. But I really like the class. And the more research that I do, the more I like these guys. I think there are some guys out here that maybe are a little bit undervalued right now. Like a Braylon Williams, and a lot of that's because he doesn't have a ton of junior tape. But he's legit. He is. He's legit. And, again, another guy at Tupelo. And so, again, I like where we're headed when it comes to in-state recruiting this year. I think there are going to be a lot more head-to-head battles with State and Ole Miss, which is always good for our business. But also, too, I think it's good for Mississippi State. It's we try to kind of wean ourselves off of these huge portal classes. And you're always going to sign some guys. But it's great to be able to have some high school guys. You got to get those guys in a developmental pipeline. And what's interesting, too, I don't get the sense that there's a lot of schools out there within our recruiting footprint pushing for commitments. An early commitment right now doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's just kind of call for what it is. Right? Because there's so much recruiting left to go. And now that there's rev share and things like that, a kid may commit to their favorite school, but then what happens later in the process when somebody else comes along and says, hey, we're willing to give you, X amount of dollars, then they're taking you for granted, right? So I expect it to be a very interesting year. Is now the rev share, which is expected to pass in April, becomes a real thing. And so many of those guys, they'll have the opportunity to get rev share if they're an early enrollee, basically the entire time they're in college. Like the guys that are here now, you get your rev share kicks in July 1. And so you may get your NIL stuff and that stuff for now, but half the year, you're not going to have that rev share coming in monthly like the next guys will. And so how does that change the dynamics of recruiting? I think it's going to change it significantly because unlike, collective bargaining agreements and signed contracts, there's nothing to bind these players to you until they sign their financial aid agreement. And that's significant. Until that happens, they're recruitable athletes. And then they can't sign until December unless they're portal guys. Portal guys can pretty much sign when they want to. But the reality of it is this is going to be a much different year in recruiting. And I think with so many in-state kids getting so much out-of-state interest, that rev share is going to be a huge part of things, especially for those top 10 players or so. I think it's very, very significant, and I think it's going to take some getting used to, and that information's not made public, and I think at some point it will be. I think at some point, once it becomes you know, collective bargaining and unionize and that kind of stuff. I think all that stuff will have to be publicized for the interest of transparency. But I think this has the potential to be a pretty special class. I don't know that we've got like a sure enough quarterback prospect in the state this year, at least not one that's going to be a Power 5 guy. I think J.J. Hill is the best running back, and Yates is probably second. I don't care what the rankings say. J.J. is a difference maker. He was a 7A player of the year and a guy that basically helped carry Tupelo to a state championship. Not that they didn't have a lot of players on the roster, but he was the straw that stirred the drink. And I love this wide receiver class. You know, last year were just a handful of guys. This year, I think there's several guys that have the ability to be big-time players on the college level. So we'll see how things go. I'm excited about it. And again, the more research that I do and the more these young men that I talk to, the more excited I get about this class and the prospects for Mississippi State to put together a really good class, especially among the in-state players. All right, if you haven't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can order signed copies of The Dude. We certainly wish you will. All my sports titles are there in addition to When the Bottom Falls. And come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can dial 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my lovely wife, Dana, and she'll answer all your questions and kind of get you going. Everybody needs a little bit of a break every now and again. Whether you've got anxiety or chronic pain, we may be able to help you. Or maybe you just need a break. That's one of the things we get a lot. We get a lot of pregnant women that just need a break, right? Not just the physical recovery aspect of it, but just letting their minds rest. Life is difficult. Take some time to yourself. Because we talk about, I'm going to do some self-care, Steve. I'm going to take some time to myself. And we go sit in our beds. We get on our phones. The TV's going. The music's going. And we're still overstimulated. This gives you an opportunity to let your mind and body rest all at once. Be sure and check it out next time you're in town. And with baseball weekends coming up, it's probably smart to book ahead of time. Because we see it, like football weekends, or sometimes we'd be almost completely booked up. And so we hate to turn people away, but we only have four pods to work with. And always come join us over at jeanspage.com, the premier Mississippi State website of all time. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.